And I want to start the show by sending out healing wishes to all. To all. We all need it. That's my wish for all of us, everywhere, especially in certain places, supermarkets, synagogues, churches, mosques, the street, the schools. This needs to be a safe space for everyone, for all of this. And don't forget, your vote can make a difference. And another thing that makes a big difference is the arts. In my humble opinion, which is not always so humble when I talk about the arts. Well, I have got a nice variety of acts for you. And I say acts intentionally because my first guests are here from the Peninsula Players, and they have... There's two people, and they have two one-act comedies, and they open on November 9th, which is a week from tonight, and I believe they run for two weekends. So you can get it on the calendar now and be ready to catch the acts. And here to tell us about it is Andy Tauber, who is the director. Hi, Andy.
Hi, how you doing?
And let's get you a little bit... Yeah, good. And... Kathy Warnert, right? Hi, Kathy. Oh, you know what, Kathy? There.
Hi, Carol.
That's much better. Yes. Okay.
I wish I had that button.
You know, I do too, but we won't go there. Mine's, yeah. Anyway, it's a great idea. We'll have to work that up. So you can see why Andy is doing comedy here. I have never met either of these folks before, and I learned before we went on the air that they are both KMUN virgins. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You've made it. You're now part of the family. Thanks for coming in. The plays that they're doing, I am also not familiar with. I understand one of them is an original. Are they both originals?
No. The first one, A Sun Also Rises, was written by Robert Brake, who lives in Ocean Park.
And who used to be a board member here on KMUN. Yes. And the other?
Was written by Peter Schaefer, who was a British playwright.
Yeah.
It opened in 1965 in London, and at that time starred Albert Finney and Maggie Smith.
Oh, Maggie Smith. She is my all-time favorite. Yes. I adore her. Albert Sweet is not too bad either.
I tried to get her, but she was busy. Yes.
I see. Well, try again next time. Have you been directing for a while, Andy?
On and off.
Where did you? Have you been here for a while?
I've lived up on the peninsula for a year now. We've owned property up here for 30, and my wife and I recently retired.
Nice. Where did you come from?
We were in Portland and Vancouver.
Okay, so you've been in Oregon for
a
while.
Yeah, I've been in Oregon since 87. Before that, it was California and Hollywood.
Go ahead, keep talking. Before that, come on, Andy, fess up.
Okay, and way, way, way back, it was the Bronx.
Yes, you have one Bronx and one Brooklyn, and we're not going to duke it out because at least we're both, well, he sort of is. You left when you were 3 years old.
Yes. So.
And still, you're a real New Yorker. It qualifies. Kathy, how about you? Where are you from?
Well, I live in Ocean Park now. Okay. We split our time between Washington State and home in Mexico on the Baja Peninsula. So two peninsulas.
Nice.
And, yeah. And I'm sticking around for this play a little longer.
Wait, it's
right.
November.
No, happy to be in this play.
Oh, how lovely. Have you been doing theater for a while?
I have been doing theater for many, many years. I tried to figure out, I think this is my 35th production that I've been in.
Where? Where have
all
you
over
done
the country.
Most...
Everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly small theaters. And
have you worked with the Peninsula Players?
This is my first time on this stage, and I am so excited. It's a great play.
Sweet theater and good people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. El Waco has come a long way. Well, you've been coming here for many years, so you've seen how much it's grown. And Andy, what's your? You were in Hollywood or something?
I was raised in Hollywood. And
did you do anything Hollywoody?
Yeah, actually, my original college degree was in theater arts, and I worked in a couple of the technical unions. I never wanted to be on stage. I always wanted to be backstage, and I worked on several TV shows and a couple of movies. But my first love has always been the technical side of live theater. Sets, lighting, and stage management.
Right. And now you're here and you're not on stage, but directing is different. Directing is different because you get to boss people around, but it's not the technique
he does.
I heard that part about using the button. Don't worry. I stuck that in my brain computer. So have you directed before, though?
I've directed at several community theater shows and, of course, in college.
Of course, he says. Of course. Not everybody.
Well, no, but when you've got a degree in theater arts,
you better. Yeah, you got to do a little of everything.
I mean, I had to take an acting class, but it consisted of, okay, you're here, you technical guys, go build our set.
Okay.
We'll see you later.
Okay. Well, it's so important to have the technical part as well, that just like with this radio station, we would be underground if we didn't have our tech geniuses. I want to just let the listeners know that my third guests are also theater folks, only they're a little younger than Andy and Kathy, maybe by 50 years at least. How about 30?
There you go.
No. Somewhere in between. Anyway, these are the high school kids who are putting on a play, too. And that's what's delightful for us to realize, right, that you develop a love for an art form. And whether or not you do it professionally, which you did, Andy, how about you, Kathy?
Not professionally. I was in summer stock, so I guess you could count that.
Okay. But whether or not it's professional, it's still such an important part of our lives.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. For 90 minutes, we get to stand up on a stage and be in another place and another time. And there's, for people who have theater running through their blood, there's nothing more exhilarating than that. Yeah.
I'm going to let that stand. That was terrific. Yeah. Now, tell us, and then we'll get back to other stuff as well. But, again, the shows are opening on the 9th, a week from tonight, running for two weekends, Fridays and Saturday nights.
And then Sunday matinees.
And Sunday matinees.
At 2 o'clock.
Okay, Sunday at 2. And the Friday and Saturday is 7?
7.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I understand, I think, the first night is going to be a welcome reception.
I've heard a rumor to that. There's
yes.
going to be champagne.
Yes,
and,
I've been at those welcome receptions. They're a lot of fun.
Yes.
So, okay, can you tell us something about these plays? Black Comedy by Peter Schaefer, and then we'll get Robert Brake's play, too.
Yeah, Black Comedy, and I'll let Kathy add in what she wants, is a comedy that takes place in a blackout. There is a young starving artist, and Kathy plays his fiance. Mm. They're expecting a deaf millionaire to come look at his artwork, and if he buys some, he'll be made. But also, Kathy's father, or Carol's father, is just, the character's name is coming over to see if this artist, Brinsley, is acceptable as a mate for his daughter. So they've, without giving too much away, they've borrowed some stuff from a very finicky neighbor antique dealer while he was out of town.
Wait a second. Was that, did I hear that borrowed in quotes?
Yes.
Okay. You didn't do the air quotes, but I kind of heard
they,
that.
They borrowed a bunch of his antique furniture and belongings without his permission to make this drab apartment look better. Then there's the blackout. And
the guy is deaf, and now
a neighbor lady shows up who's afraid of the dark. Carol's father shows up. The neighbor they borrowed the furniture from comes home early, and the big part of the play is them trying to get the furniture out without him finding out.
It sounds like it's going to be fun, Carol.
Yes,
I'm calling you Carol now. I'm Carol.
Right.
She's Carol, and you're Kathy.
Right.
Yes.
No, it's a very physically funny play. I have to say, and kudos to Andy because he is also the set designer.
Uh-huh.
A beautiful set like nothing you see normally in a small production. It's really pretty spectacular. I always think of it as the ninth character in the play.
Yes, yes,
because
it
of
can make
how
such
beautiful
a difference.
It is. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And how many folks are there in this cast?
There's an 8-person cast.
Was that in the original, too?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. I got lost once you mentioned...
Champagne.
No, Maggie. Once you mentioned Maggie, I was off and running. So,
it's very fast-moving play. Lots of humor and funny little things going. It's almost one of those plays you want to see more than once.
Well, I was wondering, did you choose the play, Andy? Or
yes,
you did.
Yes.
Have you done it before?
Yes, I have. Twice before.
Directed or
directed once and stage managed in college, where I fell in love with it.
Okay. Good. I mean, that makes it that much more interesting and exciting for you. But I'm wondering when you do it that way, because you had a totally different cast last time. You were in a different part of the world. So how does that work for you?
That was 40 years ago, and I don't
Lordy Lord.
I don't remember it very well at my advanced old age now. So it's like I'm doing it for the first time all over again.
Great. And Kathy, I'm presuming this is a first...
Yeah, my first go at this particular play, and when I read it, it was like I fell in love with the Carol character, of course.
Oh, perfect.
And I just felt so lucky and honored to get to play that role. It's
do you
fun.
Like doing comedy? Do you do other kinds?
I think comedy is maybe my favorite. I think it... You just get so much more back and forth with the audience because, you hear them and they're, laughing at the humor and all the little things we have going.
Right.
It just, you just feel the audience more
the
with
energy.
A comedy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So are there some people in this cast who have no experience or very little experience?
Yeah,
we've actually got... one guy, Patrick Buckley, who kind of just walked in off the street, said he wanted to get involved, had zero theater experience. I've cast him in two parts, one in The Sun Also Rises. He plays the son.
Wow.
And he plays the deaf millionaire in Black Comedy. And he's done wonderfully as an actor, but above and beyond that, he's stepped up and taken on a lot of other jobs. Since the millionaire has only come on in the last two pages of the black comedy script, he's been my script assistant, reading people's lines. He's taken responsibility for setting the stage.
So you had, and you say he hadn't done theater.
No.
So isn't this exciting? It's like birthing a new, how old is she? Is he a young man?
He's 30.
Okay. So for us, he's relatively young.
Yes.
Right, Andy?
Yes.
I'm not so sure about Kathy. She's somewhere in between. But isn't that exciting,
yes,
too?
Yes, it is.
To bring a new person, especially when you've been in theater for so long.
And this is Kathy's first production with us. And then one of my other actresses, this is her first production with us. So it's really nice to see talent come in that we haven't seen before.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Are you kidding? Yes. That's terrific. So Kathy, how is it that this is your first production here? When did you arrive?
We moved here about 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And because we would always leave about this time, I wasn't able to, be in the place, but we decided to stick around a little bit longer to, be able to, me be able to be in this.
Wonderful. Yeah. And for me, one of the most important things about doing theater, and then we'll get to Robert's play, is making community, which is why I'm so excited when you talk about, experienced actors, director, and then brand new people as well. Making community, people you've never met before, or you've met but you had no idea who they really were. Now you're working together and...
Yeah, and we're having a lot of fun.
That's
great.
Yeah,
there's real camaraderie with this cast, and I think the audience will sense that we really enjoy each other. We have fun, and with a comedy, you want to be able to have fun with the cast, and we're always coming up with the new little twists on things that Andy is gracious enough to let us try. He's one of those directors that says, well, give it a try. Let's see what happens.
Nice.
And that kind that freedom is wonderful for an actor.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Great. An actor once asked, I think it was Martin Scorsese, what do you want me to do? And Scorsese looked at him and said, I'm paying you $20 million to know what to do. So
that's what I'm getting paid?
No, I'm not Martin Scorsese.
Surprise. No, but your pay is being doubled, I heard.
But
like ours here.
That's why you give the actors, I've spent so much time backstage, and a lot of the funniest things happen back there. You got to give actors some free rein to play with.
Here.
And I told them that, and I said, I'll draw you back if I think you've gone too far.
Excellent. I think that an excellent director makes. Now, tell us shortly about The Sun Also Rises, and that's S-O-N.
Right.
And that's original production by Robert Brick.
Right. I have to be short because the play is only 10 minutes long.
Okay.
it's a quick little comedy about Willie Loman from Death of a Salesman in his life after Death of a Salesman, where he's having a conflict with his son that his son doesn't want to go into the new family business of crime.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Now, are you using some of the same? You said that young man is. Are you in both plays, too?
I am not.
Okay.
No,
because you have the lead
role. We have Melissa Goldberg.
Oh, yes.
Who plays Linda in Sun Also Rises.
Okay.
That's Willie's wife. And and she's playing the electrician in black comedy. We have Jim Tweedy, who is playing Willie Loman. And is playing Kathy's father in black comedy. And then we have Patrick, who's playing
the two best. And lots more actors as well, including some of our local historian. I think I saw Barry Sears' name.
Yes, Barry Sears
and
is there.
Is Bob Goldberg in this?
No, Bob's not in this.
Okay,
one.
Melissa Goldberg. Right. Well, it's delightful to meet you both, and I definitely... hope to catch this 2 one-act comedies where they're having a great time. So we, the audience, better get there and have a great time, too, because this is a quote I heard on a TED Talk, and I'm trying to get it in my head. Laughter is the tangible evidence of hope. Laughter is the tangible evidence of hope. And it sounds like this is going to be an evening of laughter, and we sure need that. It opens on the 9th, runs the 9th and the 10th at 7 o'clock, and then the 11th at 2, and then again the next weekend, which would be the 16th and 17th at 7, and the 18th at 2. It's at the River City Playhouse. Do you have the address? It's right
127 there. 127 Lake Street.
That's okay, and that's the other funny part. My next guests are like two doors down.
Yeah, 126 Lake Street.
This
yeah.
is one of those shows, you know. It's an Ilwaco dominated, and theater dominated, and they don't all mix together.
And if
that's
I could
great.
Just give a
Please.
Quick plug for our next coming attraction.
Sure.
Auditions for HMS Pinafore will be in the first week or two of January.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll get you to get that in on the KMUN calendar so we can announce it. That'd be great. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Kathy, break a leg.
Thank you.
No leg breaking.
Okay.
Andy. Okay.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you.
Peninsula Players in Ilwaco. And I have another piece for you. This was recommended for something we can all have a listen to and have a thought. This is Holly Near. It could have been me.
Students in Ohio, 200 yards away, shut down by a nameless fire one early day in May. Some people cried out angry, you should have shot more of them down. But you can't bury youth, my friend. Youth grows the whole world round. It could have been me, but instead it was you. So I'll keep doing the work you were doing as if I were too. I'll be a student of life, a singer of songs, a farmer of food, and the writer of wrong. It could have been me, but instead it was you. And it may be me, dear sisters and brothers, before we are through. But if you can die for freedom, 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 freedom. If you can die for freedom, I can too. The junta took the fingers from Victor Jara's hands. They said to the gentle poet, play your guitar now if you can. Well, Victor started singing until they shot his body down. You can kill a man, but not a song, when it's sung the whole world around. And it could have been me, but instead it was you. So I'll keep doing the work you were doing as if I were too. I'll be a student of life, a singer of songs, a farmer of food, and a writer of wrong. It could have been me, but instead it was you. And it may be me, dear sisters and brothers, before we are through. But if you can sing for freedom, 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 if you can sing for freedom, I can too. A woman in the jungle, so many wars away, studies late into the night, defends a village in the day. Although her skin is golden, like mine will never be, her song is heard, and I know the words, and I'll sing them till she's free. It could have been me, but instead it was you. So I'll keep doing the work you were doing as if I were too. I'll be a student of life, a singer of songs, the farmer of food, and the writer of wrong. It could have been me, but instead it was you. And it may be me.
Yeah. Thank you, Holly Near. I don't even know what year that's from, but, well, we do know what year it was from. It's when the four students were shot at Kent State. That's a while back. But here we are, still. Again, still, whatever. But as I said, the way to make things change, the way to change the world, there are many ways. Voting is a big one right this minute. If you haven't gotten your ballot, and get it in. And don't mail it. Drop it. And the big one, of course, you're here on Arts Live and Local on Coast Community Radio, and that is the arts. Well, I have two non-virgins, one of them especially, by God, she was just here. Well, my last two guests were virgins, you know. KMUN virgins, that is. Oh, my God. Sorry, I didn't qualify.
I'm still a virgin. Oh,
I'm sure you are. Remind me how? Oh, wait. That was the voice of Bruce Peterson, the wacky, wonderful auctioneer for the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum's 6x6 exhibit. And Betsy Millard, the director of the museum, is my other guest. Hi, Betsy.
Hello.
And Betsy, you notice, isn't claiming anything because she was just here a couple of weeks ago, weren't you?
I know, lucky me. We have a lot going on.
You sure do. You sure do. But this is happening tomorrow. And this is a wonderful event, folks. I can vouch for this because I've been a number of years. And, you know, I was going to say, even if you hate art, but if you hate art, you're not listening to this show, and I feel sorry for you anyway. So, but even if you feel like my budget, I can't buy art, or my walls are full, or whatever, don't worry about it. Come and have a blast. This event, 6x6, it's really performance art. The performer is Bruce Peterson.
It's true. It's true. Yes, I mean, the artists make it happen because the artists contribute wonderful works of art, generally either 6x6 inches or sometimes 12x12 inches.
Now,
we kind of like this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got some of these artists who think bigger is better, you know,
oh,
so we let them double up there. And some really wonderful pieces.
I looked on the web. I saw a lot of exciting stuff.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Actually, one of them was your. What is yours? Is that a photograph of something?
Yeah, that's a pigment. It's a pigment print of the sign outside of Hippo Plumbing.
It is hilarious.
A lot of people. This year's theme is Wild Northwest,
oh.
And we found a lot of people ended up doing paintings or photographs or whatnot of wildlife.
Uh-huh.
And so somehow I thought the hippo on the side of the building constituted wildlife of some sort. So at any rate, hopefully it puts a smile on people's faces.
It put a smile on mine just looking at it on the web.
Because that's what we're hoping to do, is to have everybody come, not only contribute to the museum and buy some art, but to have a really good time. And I have to give a shout out to all the artists. We have over 65 pieces of art and other gifts.
Yeah.
You know, restaurants and whatnot have reached out and helped us a lot. And this is our major fundraiser for the year. And so we're very excited about the things we have this year. So we're
now where are the artists from? Who are these people?
Well, they're from both sides of the river. So artists from all around the Long Beach Peninsula area, Ilwaco all the way up to Oysterville, and a number of folks from Astoria and around here. Noel Thomas is one of our favorites and a lovely, lovely person who has connections on both sides
of the
river.
That's right. He used to live there.
Yeah. And so he always contributes. And there's a group with the Art Loft here in Astoria who help us out. And so it's really, it's a nice group of artists who seem to find their way to the 6x6 every year, because we're not the most organized when it comes to finding the artists. It has grown kind of by word of mouth, and I can't think of a better way, because they're friends asking friends to help us as good friends.
And each year is entirely different, although, you know, someone's saying, well, 6x6, what can you do with it? I assure you.
They look best in groups.
Where is that? what is the website?
The website is ColumbiaPacificHeritageMuseum.org. And you just go to the events page and drop down to 6x6, and the slideshow is there. And Bruce photographs all of the artwork. It's a
nice.
Huge undertaking, and
yeah.
he makes beautiful photographs of these pieces. So they really look as good as they look in real life.
Yeah. Well, so you're not just a funny man.
Well, actually, you know, I have to tell you, the 6x6 inches, this was designed intentionally. I had a gallery for a long time, and people were forever coming in and complaining that they didn't have enough wall space.
Yeah.
Well, I tell people, 6x6 inches, if you don't have enough wall space, you have a hoarding disorder. That's what you have.
Uh-oh,
so,
I'm in trouble now.
So that excuse is not going to fly. So if you want to support the museum, this is a nice opportunity to get it and get something nice to take home with you at the same time.
And that's a good point. There are people in our listening audience, even local people, who have never been to this museum, and it is a wonderful museum. I was just there a couple of weeks ago for David Campeche and Eric Weigart's, which was
show.
A whole nother show because it was all fine arts, which, you know, and you've got you have such variety in your shows. What is up now?
Well, right now the 6x6 preview show is up in the gallery, and so that is today was the last day to see that because it all goes into the auction tomorrow.
Right.
But then opening on November 16th, we are doing Graveyard of the Pacific, Dangerous Currents, Shifting Sands, which is an exhibit about the shipwrecks of the area and the life-saving efforts 19th, 20th century. So we're getting a little more into history with that.
Yes.
But we have a fantastic collection of photographs and artifacts, and we're working with Washington State Parks on that. And we've just done a new little brochure for walking the Discovery Trail and the shipwrecks that you would, if you could imagine that they were still there, that you would see as you walk the Discovery Trail.
Nice.
So November 16th is when that opens, and it'll be up into March, so it's a nice long show.
Yeah, well, and that's what I meant about diversity. You just had fine arts, now you're doing small arts, and for a quick one, and then you have historical and heritage. And is it mostly photographs? Are there paintings as well, or what?
There are some paintings actually in the shipwreck show. My favorite painting is a painting of a parrot that came, I believe, was in the captain's cabin of, I think it was the Strathblane. I'm terrible at all the names, but I'm sure someone will fix that for me.
Yeah.
But it's a fabulous little oil painting of a parrot. And you can just imagine the captain of the ship who loved this bird enough to have its portrait done.
Oh, sweet.
And it was...
Which brings us back to the Wild Northwest, because you have... In these 6x6s, what have you got in there?
Well, lots of things. In fact, there are a few artists that even picked up on the theme of Graveyard in the Pacific, and they interpreted it to mean that. So we have a wide range of things that depict the weather and the wildlife.
And all mediums, ceramics and
we have acoustics
quilts and...
Yeah, and then other stuff, too, as Betsy said. I think that's where I got my Starvation Alley cranberry stuff.
Oh, yeah.
One year,
things. Yeah.
They gave a contribution as well. So this is happening again tomorrow night. What's the timing? When should people come?
So doors open at 5 o'clock. If you really, really want to come, it is very crowded this year. We have pre-sold tickets, and it looks like, you know, there's only like 25 tickets left.
So can people still buy a ticket
They can call the museum, and we can handle it over the phone with the credit card.
Okay, what's the number?
360-642-3446, and we're there 10 to 4. And
10 to 4, folks, you only have...
But if you call tomorrow, there'll be a few at the door, but we even expanded a little bit.
Oh,
so when you come, you'll see our little special expanded section. And it starts at 5, so come early. Bruce, the star of the show, goes on at 6, and he does a fantastic job.
Does.
More fun auction than this one.
It is definitely... I think... I wasn't with, look, my brain is so rattled these days, but I think I said it with the last folks that I took this off a TED Talk, that laughter is the tangible evidence of hope.
Yeah, I couldn't
and
agree
And so
more.
Tomorrow night...
We'll be hoping a lot.
Tomorrow night will be very full of hope and full of laughter, and it supports this wonderful museum. So are people going to be able to go into the gift shop, for example? Will that be open?
Yeah, it's open before the auction starts, and for a little while. It sort of depends on how the crowds work.
Right.
But we have sort of... hors d'oeuvres, and we have the auction is generally about an hour, and then there are four tables of silent auction. So there's a wide range of pricing, too.
Yeah.
The live things tend to go a little bit higher, just because they've got, Bruce pushing.
Is the live art auction before... But
we don't close the silent until after the live.
So at 5 o'clock, if you get there at five,
have a glass of wine, some nice little wonderful tidbits,
and then also walk around and start putting your bids on.
Oh yeah!
And then comes the live auction from 6 to 7-ish,
exactly.
And then you get a chance to go back
and
to
really
your silent auction.
Finalize your silent bids.
And it's hilarious because you'll find some people. I would never do this, of course. Hovering over their favorite. No.
We've established rules this year about that. There'll be no more table guarding.
Oh, darn. Well, also, in addition to having the 6x6 one year, instead of the artwork, well, it was artwork too, but it was aprons.
Yes.
And I still have my two aprons. One was from Dots and Noodles, Scott.
Yeah.
And another one, and I treasure them as well as... several 6x6s, including Betty Lou's.
Betty Lou's in, and Scott also contributed again this year, which is really nice of him to do. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So
there are a lot of artists that have hung with us all the way from the apron, so this will be our 10th live auction.
Yes. Beautiful.
So that's how long we've been doing
this. Beautiful. Now, Bruce, you're not even here most of the time. I'm getting these emails from all over the world, from Bruce and Wendy here and there and everywhere. And then suddenly, shazam, they show up.
Well, we do home exchanges and try and get around as now that we're retired, we try and get around as much as we can. The museum, though, this is the one thing we do while we're here. This is the area where we've decided we can do the most help is with helping the museum. We think it's an incredibly valuable cultural asset for us.
Absolutely.
Over in the peninsula, and we love being involved in it. And we're hoping I don't want anybody to be discouraged when we say it's going to be crowded because. Quite frankly, the more crowded, the better.
Oh, God.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's really a blast.
We like a nice full house.
He sounds like a normal man right now, but he is not. Let me tell you, when you see him up there, he's a stand-up comedian,
Well, I do find the more haywire it goes, the more people seem to like it. So we're more than willing to let it unravel in front of us.
And, I love it.
And see what happens.
Well, the nice thing is that the crowd is made up of folks who go to auctions, but a lot of folks who don't always go, and the artists. We always give the artists a free ticket to the event, so it's a great opportunity for the artists to be there, and they have such a good time, and they make it fun for all of us.
Absolutely,
too,
and you get to meet the artist. If you get a piece, you get to
mingle all of them. A lot of them are there.
Yeah. It makes a lot of people that I can make fun of. which is always good.
In a nice way, of course.
Oh, yes.
Hey, folks, again, this is the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. And what is your address?
We are at 115 Southeast Lake Street in Elwaco. We're right across the street from the post office and right next door to the Peninsula Players.
I know. This is hilarious. That was the theater people who were on. Not until next week, though. So this week, head on over to Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. Call them at 360-642-3446 if you want to get your ticket for sure right now and not worry about it. Otherwise, just get on over there and get there early. It starts at 5, but you can get there early and hopefully get in.
Betsy
Millard, Bruce Peterson, thank you so much for coming. I love when you guys do this.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carol.
You bet.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
You will.
Okay.
Okay. And I should let you know, folks, that also tomorrow, actually this whole weekend is Stormy Weather Festival in Cannon Beach, all weekend. And it is a huge festival all over Cannon Beach. All the galleries are involved. The Coaster Theater is going nuts. They have Lloyd Jones and band tonight. Tomorrow night is Curtis Salgado. Bruce Smith is in the morning Saturday. Sunday, they have Delta Blues at the Cannon Beach Community Hall. And then all the art that's in Cannon Beach. So that's the other end of the county. Well, you guys aren't even in our county. So this is a South County of Clatsop. And but also tomorrow night, Beach Books at 2 o'clock, not tomorrow night. Bob Pyle's going to be Magdalena Mountain. He's going to be giving his talk. Hoffman in Manzanita is doing the Quilt and Fiber Show demos with a reception. And Gearheart Art Walk and Seaside Art Walk are both tomorrow. Cannon Beach Community Church has the Steinway Series at 7. There's a literary ball Writers Guild is producing from 6 to 9 here in Astoria at the River Sea Gallery. You can dress as a book character. Bob Pyle and Florence Sage are going to be there as well. Jake, tomorrow, Robert Jacobs, we call him Jake, from many things, Cannery Pier Hotel, the Liberty Theater, so many other things that he had, the Armory. His memorial is tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Armory for those who knew him or knew of his works. And the ferry is also going to be open for viewing. So that's all happening tomorrow. We got more guests coming on. I'm going to give you another piece of music. And this is Leonard Cohen. You've heard it before. I've played it. Albert, of course, has played it, and others as well, perhaps. I'm playing it today because, in addition to the key word, hineni, which means here I am, here I stand, I think that speaks to where we all need to be right now. We all need to be here, present, and taking action. Also, the words that he sings in this are part of the traditional Jewish mourner's Kaddish, the mourner's prayer. Here's Leonard Cohen. Thanks for being here, folks.
Dealer, I'm out of the game. If you are the healer, means I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, then mine must be the shame. You want it darker, we kill the flame. Magnified, sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the help that never came. You want it darker. Hineni, hineni. I'm ready, my lord. There's a lover in the story, but the story's still the same. There's a lullaby for suffering and a paradox to blame. But it's written in the scriptures and it's not some idle claim. You want it darker, we kill the flame. They're lining up the prisoners and the guards are taking aim. I struggled with some demons, they were middle class and tame. I didn't know I had permission to murder and to maim. You want it darker? magnified, sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the love that never came. You want it darker? We kill the flame. If you are the dealer, let me out of the game. If you are the healer, I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, mine must be the shame. You want it darker.
Leonard Cohen, you want it darker. We don't want it darker anymore. We want the light. And I've got lots of light in the room right here at Coast Community Radio. I've got five beautiful people. One of them is wearing lipstick. I'm telling you, I didn't make that up. That's the description right here. That would be Catherine Lacaze. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, how are you?
Catherine is the director, and she is a very young woman, but the four other people are a lot younger. Well, not a lot, but they're younger because they're all Astoria High School students, which is so cool. They are opening tonight. Mm-hmm. Yowza! Tonight with The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde, and I have no idea who's doing what. I just saw that it was happening, and I called Catherine by the clouds, by the sun, by whatever. I said, please bring your students in. So I'm just going to read off the names as best I can, and then let them tell us what's going on. And you can say hi. Not that. Azaria Damghani.
Hello.
She's wearing the gray hat, in case you're watching us through your some kind of device. I don't know. I never know what's going on in this world. Isabel Williams.
Hi there.
Hi, Isabel, and her striped sweatshirt. I have Marin Donahue.
Hi.
Who is wearing a lovely dress.
Oh, thank you.
And then Sean Cooney.
Hello.
Who's the only guy. And then, of course, Catherine Lacaze in the... do you say Lacaze or Lacaze?
Lacaze.
Good,
yeah.
Because I like saying it that way. And she's in the flower shirt and lipstick. Yes, that's the determinant. Okay, so how long have you guys been rehearsing this play? Anybody, just call it out.
For at least a few months.
Yeah, it's been like 2 or 3 months now.
Well, auditions were it started in the middle of September, and then we started rehearsals that week.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So
okay.
We've been rehearsing since September.
Yeah.
So have all of you done theater before?
Yes.
Yes. Lots and lots of theater.
This is good. Okay.
Actually, this is only my second play.
Oh. Yeah. Now, are all of you not freshmen?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
This is by elimination, you see, because I have four students. Now, I happen to know that Sean is a junior.
Yes, that is correct.
And Marin?
I'm also a junior.
Junior. Azaria?
I'm a sophomore.
And Isabel.
I'm actually a senior.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think I'm the only senior in the play.
Yes. Doing, yes. Yes, the doing theater. Senior. Now, what is this a... is this part of the curriculum? Is it a class?
No.
Or this is after school?
Yes, this is extracurricular.
Totally extracurricular.
Okay, so is there no theater classes in school at this point?
There are. There is an acting elective and then an advanced acting elective, but the shows that are put on in the fall and spring are totally extra.
Oh, that's interesting. Have all of you taken the theater classes in school? No, the head.
No.
I took one semester of acting last year.
Okay. Mm. Oh, who's teaching that?
Jenny Newton.
Oh, really? Jenny's still doing that. Oh,
yeah.
Jenny's my favorite school theater teacher. She is.
I actually am joining advanced acting in the next semester because I asked her, because I know what they do in acting, and I asked if I could just go and do advanced acting,
right.
And she let me.
And you know why, Azaria? Because you sound exactly like her. You have the same accent and the same tone of voice, so she probably said,
yeah, thank you.
Then we can put her on the phone and I won't have to say anything. Okay, so Catherine, what's your connection to the high school?
They had somebody who was leading their extracurricular program for, I believe, the past 2 or 3 years, and he had to leave a little abruptly, I think, because he's in the military. Mm. And so they just needed someone to step in and, take over for that program. And obviously it was a wonderful opportunity for me because I love theater, especially in an education setting. So,
right. You love theater and you also are wonderful with kids because I saw you with the doing the Sherlock thing.
Yes.
And the coaster.
We went to that.
Did you go?
Yeah,
so
it was
I.
so cute.
Yeah,
it was
I
awesome.
Did too. Well, they came on the air and I was so impressed I had to go.
Yeah.
So now look what you're doing to me. You're making me go to your play too because you're such a fun group of people. So, how has this been? Who can tell us in maybe one extended sentence, because a lot of people are familiar with the importance of being earnest, and you have to figure out how to spell earnest, folks. That gives you a little bit of a hint. Without giving too much away for those people who aren't familiar with the play, Sean, you've been elected. Tell us, and not because you're the only boy, but I don't know why, but they all pointed to you. Tell us why this, are you by any chance one of the characters, like, okay, no more questions like that. Can you tell us why this play is so popular and rather funny and yet?
Yeah, well, yeah, the name itself, The Importance of Being Earnest, there's a double meaning there. Earnest is in the adjective, then earnest is in the name, like a character. But the irony comes in because the name and the character Earnest is surrounded with superficiality and deception, and so hilarity. It's not very earnest after all. Hilarity ensues, and so at some point, like, I won't want to give too much away, but at some point you're going to start wondering if Ernest is even a real person. It gets that absurd.
Oh wow! Now, were you familiar with the play before the auditions?
We tried to put on this play last year.
Whoops.
some drama, things fell apart. But
yeah, me and Sean, a senior last year, decided to put on a student-run play.
Oh.
And it was the same, The Importance of Being Earnest. And we figured out very quickly that student-run plays are very difficult. Especially
what do you
when
mean
it's
by a student-run play?
So a senior who is in high school is the director.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us were in high school at the time. And, you know, like, trying to direct a whole bunch of teenagers when you're also still a teenager is very difficult.
You mean you weren't sufficiently respectful of the director? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I wouldn't put it that way.
I would say that the social dynamics from outside of the production definitely bled in, much to our detriment.
I can see why you pointed to Sean. He's got a way with words, doesn't he?
Yeah, just a little bit.
That's great. So how has it been for you, Catherine? Because when you were working with the kids at the coaster, the Sherlock Holmes piece, they were little kids.
Yeah, that's right.
And these are not little kids. As a matter of fact, a couple
Don't
of them are taller
it.
Than I am.
She's fine. I mean, she
See, I told you, you're like Jenny. Go ahead.
Oh, it's been a really good experience. I've actually enjoyed working with the high school students. You know, there's just certain things that they already know, and just a little of that maturity definitely is fun to work with. We can focus a little bit more on acting technique and getting into the language. I mean, putting on something like The Importance of Being Earnest is only possible with, I think, a little bit of an older cast. So I was really thrilled to have that opportunity and to be in the high school setting. And it's been great.
Yeah. And did you all know each other before?
I think we all knew each other fairly well. Like, me and Azaria, we knew each other for a really long time. And then, like, I think we just all really got to know each other within the first week of rehearsing, too. So that was really helpful.
Well, you know, my first guests this show were actors and up in Ilwaco, adults, all adults. And they talked about what fun it is to be working with each other. And I'm thinking, you know, kids sometimes, oh God, is she in the play? But it sounds as though that hasn't been a problem. They're looking at each other. Maren, you've been the quietest. Come up to the mic.
I usually am.
She's pretty naturally quiet. Yeah.
So what is it about? And you said you're a junior.
Yes.
And you've done theater before. Mm-hmm. What is it about theater that you like?
I have just always loved it. I've been doing this since I was really little, so I can't honestly remember how I got started or why.
No,
I moved here about 2 years ago from the Seattle area.
Okay, but you were doing theater. I'm just wondering, because especially since you say you tend to be the quiet one, kind of shy, theater might be...
Yes, it depends on who I'm with, but I am typically more quiet. But on stage, it's a way to open up. It's really fun. It's a great experience, and I have grown to really adore it. So, yeah.
Great. And Isabel, are you going to take theater with you when you graduate?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I moved here last year from Georgia, actually, all the way across the country. And I was really, really involved in theater there.
You don't sound like you're from Georgia.
I know.
It comes out sometimes.
Yeah, when I'm with my family or when I get upset a little bit, it'll start coming out a little. But I took it with me all the way up here, and it's just always been such a big part of my life. I can't imagine graduating and not doing it. So I think that, that's also going to be a big part of my life when I graduate as well.
Was that a good way to meet people in your new community?
Yeah,
also,
absolutely.
Both of you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, come in doing something you love, but with new people.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful opportunity to meet some new friends.
Excellent. Okay, folks, let's remind you, because we are out of time. This is the Astoria High School. Do you have a name? They used to be the Thespians. What?
The Astoria High School Theater Department.
There you go. Department. Okay, I have it. I'll have to wear it. A special T-shirt just for you. Uh-huh. Oh, I can't. I'm not going home first. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it is happening tonight and tomorrow night at 7, and then next weekend as well. No Sunday show.
No.
Just Friday and Saturday at 7 at the Astoria High School Auditorium at 7, I said. And so get there. Plenty of parking, but you want to be there so you can move all the way up. So you can hear everything, because acoustics there, it's a huge space.
Yes. Yes.
And so
sure.
I want to wish four of you in this room broken legs.
Thank you.
Said that. Break your leg. Catherine, no broken legs.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Isabel Williams, Azaria Damghani, Maren Donahue,
there we go.
Sean Cooney, the only guy. And, love that. And Catherine Lacaz, our director. Thank you, Catherine, working with our kids again, because this is fabulous in this community. Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks.
I want to let you know a few other things that are happening, but I also want you to be sure. Yeah, folks. Here's the most important thing you need to do. And if you've already done it, then make sure your neighbor, your friends, all over the country are doing it and have done it. Remember that in 1960, That's within a lifetime of many of us. One vote change in each precinct in Illinois would have defeated John Kennedy. In 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler leadership of a Nazi party. You get my drift. Get out and vote. The kids in the room with me just now, other than Catherine, are underage. They can't vote. So remember, you're voting for them, too. And make sure you take this seriously and think about it. If you have any questions, give me a call. And there's a contra dance at Astoria Arts and Movement Center tonight. And also...